The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his followers went as far as Capernaum. As soon as the Sabbath came, Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach. And his teaching made a deep impression on them, because unlike the scribes, he taught them with authority. In their synagogue just then, there was a man possessed by an unclean spirit, and it shouted, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus said sharply, "Be quiet, come out of him." And the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and with a loud cry, went out of him. The people were so astonished that they started asking each other what it all meant. "Here is a teaching that is new," they said, "and with authority behind it. He gives orders even to the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And his reputation rapidly spread everywhere, through all the surrounding Galilean countryside. The Gospel of the Lord. I think I can resonate well with the opening of the front cover on the newsletter this week, where it says, "It's no surprise that we tend to be cynical about those in authority." I read it was Abraham Lincoln who said, "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." Power and authority closely linked, but often misunderstood and abused. And in a way, that's because of our fallen state. The abuse of power and authority have always been a problem. It still screams at us every day. When I was driving to Hale last night to Mass, there was more trouble in the Ukraine, of course, than the Japanese man being beheaded in Syria, in Iraq, wherever they've done that. And, of course, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of Churchill, 70th of Auschwitz. We can go on. We think of power and authority. It was Chesterton who was expounding on the relationship between authority and power, describing the difference. And he said, "If a rhinoceros were to enter this restaurant now, there would be no denying that he had great power here. But I should be the first to rise and remind him that he had no authority whatever." Power without authority always looks dangerous. Authority without power looks comical. If power is the ability to cause or prevent change or to influence people and events, it's important that those who do it exercise also enjoy the authority that justifies them in what they do. Because, of course, for many peoples, particularly those who've suffered under military regimes, power is associated with force, compulsion, violence, and often death and torture. And the power that identifies only itself with force makes victims of all its subjects. And that's the power, as it were, of the rhinoceros. But people rightly oppose that sort of power that exploits, manipulates, and bullies into conformity. But power needn't be destructive. Remember how Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Archbishop Oscar Romero all used power, but in a non-violent way, to oppose powerful systems. The fact that the three of them were assassinated doesn't belittle their power, because we still remember, and it's right that we do, recall the struggles that they had in that non-violent way of challenging those in power. And of course, parents have power over their children. But John Bosco yesterday, whose feast day it was, reminded us, as he had a great care in education for youth, it's very easy to hit out and lash out and be violent and hit. But he said, that's not the way of education. It's to love them, a force that's exerted on behalf of others, but in love and in care for them. And so Mark begins telling his story of Jesus, how he shows Jesus invested with power and authority. Power, the power of the Spirit that came on him at baptism. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the baptism of the Lord. You remember, the heavens opened. The Spirit came on, the power of that Spirit like a dove. And the Father's affirmation, this is my Son, the Beloved. As it were, the power that moves Jesus has its source in God. And that's what he displays both in his actions and in his words, the authority of God himself. And so when he begins teaching, it says the people were deeply impressed. They were amazed, deeply impressed, because they can see for themselves this is a difference between how he teaches and how the scribes and other religious teach. And when he teaches, something actually happens. It's with authority. And the word authority is the same root as author. And an author brings out of themselves, not they're made influenced by others, but bringing from themselves, a writer writes what they have on their hearts and their minds, and it's all the same root word. Meaning that Jesus' teaching isn't second-hand or simply had knowledge or learnt. He is the author, as it were, of the words and teaching and action. And they come from within himself. In contrast to the scribes who said, it was written in the past, this is what they used to do. No, this is different. And they said, this is new teaching. It's new because what we're still celebrating, we're still within the 40 days till tomorrow, Candlemas, the crib's there to remind us, the light of Christ there to remind us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all that came to be had its life through him. Because both Mark and St. John are saying, this is something radically new. This is authority, and it's underpinning Jesus' words and actions, and the key is the identity of Jesus, which we're celebrating, still growing, as it were, in that mystery. Back to that baptism, when the Spirit comes, the Father's voice is heard affirming his Son. Jesus needs no external human authority to validate him. His authority comes from his own divine nature. Some of that's wrestled out in the early chapters of St. John's Gospel. It's brought to us here by Mark today. It comes from who he is. He is God, the Son of God, Jesus, and the power of the Spirit resting on him. And Son of God, his mission in the world is clear: to reclaim the world for God, to reclaim the world from the power of Satan and the evil one. And we can see it all around. That's why he has power over the evil spirits, and why they know him, because they know there's a conflict going on, and we can see it. Day it's screaming at us. There's that power struggle there, the power of evil. And Jesus comes to set that free. And he does it in the synagogue in Capernaum, as we've just heard. But Jesus wishes us, too, to be part of all that, to exercise, in a way, the same kind of authority and power as he does, and that rests on our identity, which is, again, in our baptism. Because in the baptism, in our baptism, we're sealed with the Spirit, which is reaffirmed in our confirmation. And in that we're made, as Christ was anointed, priest, prophet, and king, so may you too. That's what we say in the baptism service, anointing of chrism, and we're anointed. And he asks us to do that. And you see, when we go and when we're talking, we're not with our own authority. It's with Christ. We're bringing Christ wherever it is. Always the key to any homily is, did they preach Christ? Were they talking about themselves or about Christ? It's about Christ. When we go out, I say, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Not your own good news. You may have some of that, but not your own good news. The good news of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to be here week by week. Because we need to top up, as it were, our batteries, refresh them again with that word of God that's made flesh for us. That feeding nourishment with Jesus himself, his own body and blood, so that he can send us out at the end. Because when we've heard the word, received that strength, we go out and live that mission in the world, sent out as we are to witness to him.